I recently spent some time outside on a gorgeous autumn morning talking with a Johnny Logan College biology instructor who opened my eyes to the October treats that may not be as big and showy as the tree leaves are now, but are still beautiful and unique. Sitting on a picnic bench by the beautiful pond at Johnny Logan, an Abel Kinzer biology instructor at Johnny Logan is with me. And thanks a lot for visiting with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Kevin. Thanks for coming by.
It's autumn time, and of course, many people think of the changing leaves on the trees. We'll talk about that in a moment. But let's not forget some of the beauties that are at ground level. What are some of the wildflowers that are showing off at this time of year?
Well, this time of year, you're probably going to see one family more than any other, and that'd be the sunflower family. Okay. And the main members of the sunflower family you're going to see, especially for those of you that are in the Carbondale area, short little day trips out to Giant City State Park or Little Grand Canyon will give you a nice view of some of these asters and goldenrods that are both members of this sunflower family. And the asters come in purples and whites. Blue. And if, you know, the Trillium Trail that a lot of people know about in Giant City has a nice display of asters right now. Also, you're going to see, if you look carefully up on top of the bluff on that Trillium Trail, you're going to see a little white orchid blooming right now. This little orchid's called Nodding Lady's Tresses. And if you're not looking for it, you're not going to see it. But it's one of the last wildflowers to bloom here in Southern Illinois, and it's a special treat to find. Well, the Nodding Lady's Tresses is only going to be 6 to 10 inches high off the ground with small little blossoms, white blossoms. They're all white. And the flowers are only about maybe a quarter of an inch long. So they're pretty tiny. It's a delicate little orchid.
Nice little surprise to find. And isn't it amazing how plants are very, a lot of times, particular about their certain climate and exposure that they grow in. So this orchid, you probably won't find it in a low creek area at Giant City State Park, just on that exposed bluff, correct?
Yeah, really, this orchid really likes dry habitats, okay. Dry woods, maybe you'd say. And you'll find those up on top of the bluff top there on the Trillium Trail. If you go down to Little Grand Canyon, right now, go down into the canyon, and there's a bunch of beech trees that grow down in the lower part of Little Grand Canyon. And there's a parasitic plant called beech drops that produces no green pigment, so it doesn't photosynthesize, and it gets all its nutrients from the root system of these beech trees. So it's developed an adaptation where it doesn't need to photosynthesize anymore. It just lets the beech trees do that and grab some of those sugars from the beech root system.
What does this plant look like when we see it?
Well, this is about maybe, again, 6 to 12 inches tall. It's easy to miss. It's another one that you got to be looking for. Yeah. But it's usually got a purple to whitish color on its stem. No leaves, because again, it doesn't photosynthesize. And small little white flowers along that stem. It's really a treat, a special treat to find.
Of course, now the big story is the autumn colors, the leaves starting to change. And tell us a little bit about the chemistry. Is it true that the beautiful reds and yellows and stuff, those colors have been there all year long, correct?
Yeah, what a lot of people probably don't realize is that those secondary pigments, those reds and oranges and yellows that are coming out now, those have been present all year round, but they've been blocked or masked by the green pigment in plants called chlorophyll. And this chlorophyll is what does most of the absorption of the solar energy that gets photosynthesis kick-started. So these plants have lots of green pigment all summer long so they can photosynthesize. But now as the season starts to change, they start to shut down. They don't need to photosynthesize anymore. They start to break down the chlorophyll, the green pigment. And as they break down the green chlorophyll, we start to see some of those secondary pigments, the oranges and the reds that have been there all year, blocked by the massive amount of chlorophyll, are starting to make themselves seen now. Some of my favorite trees right now that are starting to change, because if you actually look above us, Kevin, you'll see there's still a lot of chlorophyll on these trees, but there are some trees like the sassafras and the dogwoods and the sumacs these have already really started to put on quite a display of different shades of red. And it's just great driving down the, driving through the countryside, looking at these colors. Or maybe my favorite spot to view fall colors has got to be Garden of the Gods.
I think we have a blue jay over there kind of fussing at us. Well, I'd... We are in his territory. Oh, you mentioned the beautiful colors. Poison ivy, there's some people that it's not a very pleasant experience. But personally, and maybe you can agree, this time of year, poison ivy leaves are gorgeous.
Yeah, it turns out that might surprise some people that poison ivy is gorgeous. But the leaves do turn a brilliant red color this time of year, especially if they've been exposed to a lot of sunlight.
Okay. Which,
so they don't always turn that red color, but if they're exposed to extra sunlight, the poison ivy vine is a beautiful vine this time of year, and you'll even see it growing up tree trunks, and it'll look like that tree's turning red, but it's actually the poison ivy vine that's growing up it.
Yeah. And from time to time, I've seen little, I think, white berries on the poison ivy. Can you talk about the fruits on those?
Well, poison ivy is a flowering plant, and all flowering plants produce some sort of fruit. So poison ivy blooms way earlier in the year, and in May, around May or so, late spring. And those little blossoms will turn into little fruit that you will see this time of year developing. And I think certain animals eat those, believe it or not.
I think so.
Yep.
Great. All right. Well, thank you very much for sitting down and visiting with us with your busy schedule. Is there anything that maybe I forgot to bring up, or just something you would like to say in summation about this time of year?
Well, Kevin, I just would encourage everybody to get outdoors. You know, this is a great time of year to do that. The ticks and chiggers are gone. So just beautiful fall colors and a few wildflowers still hanging out.
Thanks, and as always, I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thanks, Kevin.
That was Abel Kinzer, a biology instructor at John A. Logan College, reminding us of the fall wildflowers that are still putting on a show, much like their larger tree cousins, only closer to the ground. And if you want to see where the peak fall colors are in the Shawnee National Forest, the U.S. Forest Service has a special website, which is updated regularly, and you can see that link by clicking on this story on the WSIU website. Oh, by the way, I did go to the Forest Service website just yesterday, and the peak of the fall colors in the Shawnee is right now through November the 2nd. For WSIU Radio, I'm Kevin Boucher.